to resist.
And yet, I shall. You must trust me if you have ever trusted me, if you have ever loved me. You must trust that I would never leave you if there were another way. And you must trust me to come back to you, for I will, James. I will. You have the promise of my love, and you must carry it close to your heart until I can bring to an end the things that would keep us from one another. You have always kept me safe, and now you must believe that it is my task to do the same, to keep us both safe so that someday we might be together as one. I endeavor to be true to you, James, and I pray you will wait. If you will wait, I will return. You have my word and my love. Yours, Leah. 35. The train rattles under us as we speed through the night. There are windows, but there is no point looking through them. I have already tried, and it is as black as pitch. At first I worry that I will be sick, the way I so often am in the carriage when I cannot see out the windows. But this time the rocking and swaying bring me comfort. I think if only we can stay on this train, rocking and swaying forever, everything will be all right. Not the way it once was, but perhaps all right just the same. A warm hand reaches over, covering mine. When I look up, I am met by Sonia's smile, at once excited and concerned. Convincing her to accompany me was not as hard as I expected. My only bag is stuffed under my seat. In it are an extra gown, a few essentials, and the knife from Alice's room. The rest of my things have been sent ahead to London. Aunt Virginia has arranged everything, writing to let the staff there know that I am coming. Millthorpe House, like Birchwood, has been in the family for ages. We shall be comfortable, Sonia and I, while Sonia teaches me the ways of our gifts. While we contact Philip Randall and seek out the remaining keys. While I become strong enough, in this world and the others, to fight the battle at which I am the center. Louisa will join us at a later date, when she has found a way to have herself removed from Wycliffe, with a minimum of suspicion and disappointment to her father in Italy. Saying goodbye was difficult, but it is written in the stars and on the marks of our wrists that we shall meet again. Sonia squeezes my hand, and when I look down, I see the medallion gleaming taut and flat against her wrist. This is the bargain we have struck. I do not know if the medallion will remain on her wrist, or if it will find its way back to me the way it has in the past. It is my hope that it will be secure, that the power of the soul entrusted with its care will keep it from traveling back to me. Sonia is not the gate. Samael cannot come through her, though she has warned me that the souls will attempt to trick her, to frighten her, to harass her in any manner of ways until they succeed in their quest to get to me. But she is stronger than I in the ways of the other worlds. If anyone will hold them at bay, if anyone will give me the time I need to prepare for the battle ahead, it will be Sonia. Will it work? Or will the medallion find its way to my wrist during some fitful night, carrying me to the other worlds and the beast that will use me as its gate, as a conduit to the battle that will begin the seven plagues? I do not have the answers. Not yet. It is all I can do to travel forward into my future, that dark and shapeless shadow that lies in wait. Into the future my mother never quite reached, hoping for a way to fulfill my own part in the story, for a way to find the missing pages and the remaining keys. There are those who will always be with me, my mother and father, Aunt Virginia, James, even Alice, and Henry. Henry is my talisman through every dark night. I recall his somber eyes during that last private conversation. His eyes and his words, far too wise for a boy of 10. Only time will tell, Leah. In the end, I suppose it will.
Acknowledgements. The journey to publication of this book includes 5 unpublished manuscripts and more amazing people than I can name. I'll try, though. by first saying thank you to my agent, Stephen Malk, the sincerest advocate for children's literature I know. Your instincts and talent are golden. To my fantastic editor, Nancy Konescu, who somehow manages to strike the perfect balance between hand-holding, vision, and editorial tough love, it's a gift. To Amy Verardo and the subsidiary rights department at Little Brown for helping the prophecy conquer the world, and to the entire Little Brown PR and marketing team, a more enthusiastic and talented team of people does not exist. To readers and friends extraordinaire, Madeline Rispoli, Beth Helms, Karen Barton, and Jackie Lynch. To my friends Carla Galazzo, Eileen Cole, and Kathy Strucker. Life would be so much sadder without sweet potato fries and crazy diner conversations. To Maddie Collier, my first YA fan who has a bright future as a poet and writer. To all the young people who so generously allow me to be a part of the magic and joy and humor and pain of adolescence. Morgan Doyle, Jake Marks, Mike Strucker, and Connor Raymond. Knowing you all is a privilege. A special thank you goes to Anthony Galazzo, whom I love like a son. I'm in awe of your intellect, insight, and creative mind. Your enthusiasm for life, reading, and writing is a constant reminder of why I love what I do. I can't wait to see what happens next. To my dad, Michael St. James, for the writing gene. And most of all, to the hearts of my heart, Kenneth, Rebecca, Andrew, and Carolyn Zink, who sacrificed uncomplainingly for my elusive dream. You inspire me every day. This has been an Hachette audio production of Prophecy of the Sisters, written by Michelle Zink, read by Eliza Dushku. Produced and directed by Dennis Kao, recorded by John Kovarik, post-production by Jennifer Nix and John Kovarik, production supervised by Michelle McGonigal. Prophecy of the Sisters is also available in print from Little Brown Young Readers, a division of Hachette Book Group. Text copyright 2009 by Michelle Zink. Audio production copyright and published 2009 by Hachette Audio, all rights reserved. Except as permitted under the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, no part of this production may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, or stored in a database or retrieval system without the prior written permission of the publisher. This audiobook is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, events or locales, is entirely coincidental.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.